Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
There's nothing like starting off doing something really embarrassing, right? Especially when we're going to talk about embarrassment. We're in this series called Walking with God, and we're going through the book of Psalms. And today's kind of topic is the idea of shame and embarrassment. And so, of course, I got to do something embarrassing to open up the service or open up the message by just fumbling around up here with this thing. So, good start. How many of you have a really embarrassing story about yourself? By show of hands. Okay, what is it? No, I'm just kidding. You don't need to put yourself out there. I will take the hits. I got a couple stories to share with you that are just a little bit embarrassing. Back when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I was in hockey, and how it worked often was my parents would sometimes, depending on what was going on at the house, I would have to get dressed in my gear at home because it's chaotic and we're busy and this and that. So I'm showing up to the rink in full gear, and you have to wear skate guards on your skates as you're walking in, otherwise you damage your skate blades. And so I get into the rink, I forget to take my skate blades off, I am like charging ahead, I'm so amped up to go play hockey, and I take one step, and bam! On the ice. And I can remember feeling embarrassed, my teammates going, oh, like, does he even know what he's doing? This guy sucks at hockey. Doesn't even know how to take off his skate blades. Throughout high school, I'm sure lots of us can resonate with this. Maybe some of you are resonating with this now. Asking girls out, getting rejected, and it's like, that's embarrassing, right? It's like you put yourself out there, you put your heart on the line, and don't laugh that much, Savannah. Oh my goodness. Mean. Those teens are so mean to me, guys. Yeah, you put yourself out there and you think, hey, like I like this person and maybe they'll like me back, and doesn't work out, and then everyone talks about it, and it's like, oh man, I'm so embarrassing, I feel so embarrassed, I feel so ashamed, I'm not going to do that again, all right? Maybe more in recent years, a couple years ago, Olivia and I were working at a different church, and there were mistakes that I had made as a pastor. And these were, you know, things that were maybe small, but my boss was not as gracious as, say, Pastor Evan would be over small things. And he kind of chewed me out in front of other people about it, kind of shamed me and embarrassed me in front of other people. And I can remember feeling this pit in my stomach, this shame, this embarrassment, this, like, I feel like, man, I've really screwed up. And whenever we have these embarrassing moments, we feel this shame come over us. We feel this embarrassment where we kind of retreat inside ourselves and go, okay, I don't really want to engage with the world because the world's a scary place and the world hurts anytime I do something silly or wrong, whether it's small or big, and I don't like those feelings. I don't like to feel that way. And it especially becomes an issue for us as we follow Jesus that sometimes the mistake that we've made is not just something small you did at work or just something you didn't mean to do, but sometimes the mistakes we made are something that are deeply embarrassing because of the nature of sin attached to it. Each of us have a sinful past, amen? There's things in our lives that I'm sure if we took the time to chat it out, there would be some embarrassing details about our lives. Things that we don't want to talk about, things we're afraid to process, things that we feel ashamed of. And anytime we sin, whether it's in the past, long ago, or even something more recent that happened maybe this week for you, we feel this shame and this embarrassment where we just want to retreat inside ourselves and say, I want to pretend like that never happened. I want to cover that up as quick as I can. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to process that. I don't want to confess that to anybody. I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather just pretend like that never happened and try to put that behind me. And so we try that, and we walk through life carrying this bag of shame over our shoulder, going, man, why do I still feel so guilty, so embarrassed, so ashamed of the things in my past? We feel ashamed. We feel like we're a failure. We start to feel anxious. We start to feel alone. We start to feel abandoned. We feel like we're unwanted. Some of us, we look at our sin and we think to ourselves, I'm too far gone. God can't save me. God can't rescue me. I'm so worthless. I'm a burden to society. I'm a burden to my family. I've screwed it up too many times, too hard. And we feel all these heavy emotions and feelings about our sin that we just want to cover it up. And so the temptation, anytime we sin or anytime we think about our sin past, is to hide. We want to keep it a secret. We try to hide it from God. We try to hide it from other people. We try to put on a good show, put on a good face, show up to church and be like, yeah, life's good. Yeah, I'm good. But deep down inside, we don't feel good. In the Bible, we see that the very first thing that Adam and Eve do right after they sin is they go hide. They sin, they realize they're naked, they feel that shame, they have those feelings, and the first thing they do is they go hide. And God says, where are you? And they, well, God, we messed up. We tried to hide from you. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, there's a story of a guy named Achan. And God had commanded the Israelites that as you go into the city and conquer it, you are to take no plunder for yourself. And this guy Achan, he decides to disobey. He takes some plunder for himself. And then stuff starts to go wrong in the camp with the Israelites. And they're like, what's going on? And so Achan's like, I'm the one at fault, but I don't want to confess that. And so he starts to hide his plunder and just pretend like, I'm not the one that's guilty, and I'm not the reason that we're all suffering here. Like, I'm just going to hide all that. And eventually, it's revealed, and there's shame, there's embarrassment, and there's judgment for that. And then there's the story of Jonah. Jonah's a prophet of God. He's called by God to go to Nineveh, preach to the Ninevites about their destruction, and he goes, I don't like that idea. They're going to kill me if I go there and do that. I'm going to run away. I'm going to hide from God. I am going to try to just pretend like this is not happening. Over and over again, we see in Scripture characters in the Bible who, when there is sin, when there is shame, when there is embarrassment, the first temptation is to run and to hide, to cover it up, to pretend it's not there, to pretend it doesn't exist, and to just try to get through life carrying the shame and the embarrassment that they have been in. But then we get to Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles, you can open here to Psalm 139. We ask ourselves, what do we do with this shame? What do we do with these temptations of wanting to hide and run? What are we supposed to be doing? Psalm 139 says this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred, and I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We look at a psalm like this, which is lengthy, yes, but packed with hard-hitting truths, but comforting truths. Our main point here is this, that God knows everything about you and still wants you. We cannot hide from God. Our attempts at hiding from God are in vain. The shame that we carry, he knows about it. And yet, he still wants you. You see, I feel the need to clarify, like, God knows everything about you, and our running from him, there's some of us who maybe think we have to run from God because he's chasing after us with a big stick. And he's wanting to whack us because of the sinful things that we've done in our lives. And we feel that shame. We go, God, I don't want to deal with my shame with you because you're going to hurt me and you're going to judge me and you're going to just, like, kill me over it. He's not chasing us with a big stick. He's chasing us with open arms, wanting to embrace us, wanting to bring us home, wanting to forgive us, wanting to show us his mercy, his grace, his love. We have these shameful things about us, these deep, dark, awful sins in our past and in our present. And we are so unwilling to deal with them, to confess them, to bring them to God, or to have accountability, or whatever it may be, because we just feel so ashamed. We feel so embarrassed. But God knows. He sees the sin in your life. He sees the shame. He sees the feelings of embarrassment. And he still wants you. You are his precious son or daughter. You are created in his image. You have been bought at a price of Jesus' blood. I don't need to hide. I don't need to cover it up. I can go to Jesus and say, here I am, Lord. Here's all the ugly truth about me. Here is all the stuff I'm dealing with, all the junk, all the sinful junk. Take it, Lord. And he does, and he will, because he wants us. He loves us. God knows everything about you and still wants you. As a pastor, I have this unique privilege, opportunity, but sometimes burden, of meeting with people and talking to them about their junk. All right? We want to do that. That's what we're here for. Please don't feel like you have to hide from us either. Okay? But I've sat with people in my office, and I know, I can just tell by their body language, I can tell by their facial expressions, I see tears start to well up in their eyes, and they struggle to say what it is that's going on. The shame, the embarrassment, the nature of what it is just, it feels like too much to let it out, and it's safer to keep it to themselves. But there's been times where I've walked with different people, and they finally get to a place where they break and they just say, Brad, this is what's going on. And I can just simply say, yeah, I know. I've seen that. Still love you. God still loves you. And it's not a judgmental conversation. It's not a beat you over the head with the Bible or a stick. It's a, God loves you. Hey, let's work on that. Let's process that. Let's seek God's will for your life. There was a teen that I was working with years ago when I was at a different church down in Sussex, and this student was just addicted to pornography and was wrestling with that. And he came to me one day and, Brad, I got to tell you about something. Okay. Well, I don't really want to tell you about it. Okay. Well, what is it? And we talked about it. And there was that moment where it just breaks, where the sin is confessed, and then almost instantly it's like, oh my gosh, there's this freedom now. I've got that out there. And already the Holy Spirit started to work on him before he even said a word. And there's been steps that he took, things that I got to help him with, and then years later, he's now an adult. I've met with him later on in life, and like, Brad, I'm free from that. And life is going great for me. Good. That's awesome. We were at a different church in New Brunswick, Olivia and I, and there was a gentleman in our church. His marriage was falling apart. His wife was threatening to leave him, like, over and over again. And he felt so ashamed of his manhood, of his ability to be a good husband, a good father. And he just felt like he was failing all the time. And he carried that shame with him. And he sat down with me one day and finally confesses that. And we were able to process that. And he took some steps. But there was this part of him, and there was this part of this student I worked with where it's like, I'm better off holding that in. I'm better off hiding that. I'm better off not dealing with that with God or with anyone else. And yet God knows everything about you and still wants you. That when we get to that place where we're finally willing to confess to God, confess to another believer who can hold us accountable, there is a sense of relief and a sense of freedom and a sense of the Holy Spirit coming in and just starting a work of transformation in your life. Amen? God knows everything about you and still wants you. Those feelings of embarrassment that I had, even in those silly stories, like, it's still connected to feelings of shame and anxiety and failure and worthlessness and being unwanted and feeling rejected and all these different things, where I can then take those feelings and apply them to my relationship with God and say, God, you don't want me. I'm too much of a wreck for you. And the truth is, no. He still wants me. He still wants you. In spite of what you've done, big or small, right or wrong, He still wants you. What we got to remember is that God's love is so much bigger than my junk. Sometimes we limit God and say, well, God, like, I've done all this really bad stuff. Maybe you love me enough to cover some of this stuff, but the rest, I can't. No, no. His love for you far exceeds the sin, the shame, the embarrassment, whatever it is. He is so much bigger than your junk. He walks beside us in our failures, with our problems. He says to us, you are not too far gone. It's actually an offense to him to say, God, you can't save me. I'm too broken. No, no. He's much bigger than that. You are wanted. So, what do we do with a message like this? How do we apply this to our life? How do we start to take those steps where we can walk in freedom, where we can be free from the shame, be free from the embarrassment? Well, there's three things. Number one, we got to confess both to God and to others. If we continue to walk through life pretending like it's okay, carrying that bag of shame without confessing it, without laying it down, you're going to just keep walking around with a big bag of shame, and it's going to get heavier and heavier and worse and worse and worse. God wants us to lay that down at his feet, and that takes confession. Confession to God, confession to others, so that we can be held accountable, so that we can receive that word of love back into our heart, where we lay it down and we hear God say, I love you, you are forgiven, you are set free, I have a new path for you, I have a new life for you. These people that I've placed before you in your life are going to help mold you and sharpen you and hold you accountable. And so we got to begin with confession. Number two, we don't just confess and then kind of just walk away and keep carrying the bag. Like, I've seen it happen where it's like, hey, I'm struggling with this, but I don't want to do anything about it. I want to just confess it and then just keep living it. It's like, no. You got to let God in to that situation where you don't just simply confess it, but now that it's out there, it's like, okay, God, come into this situation I'm in. Help transform it. Help heal it. We got to take a chance on letting God's love love us. We got to allow ourselves to feel loved. And then lastly, number three, we got to be willing to ask for help. Got to ask for help. Got to reach out. You see, God has designed the church in such a way, and even though we don't get it perfect, we still aim to do this because it's in God's word, that we are to be the support system for each other. We're not just called to go and be witnesses out in the community where we share our faith and get new believers and converts and have salvations and baptisms. We want to do that, and we should never set that aside. But our other responsibility is to support each other, to do life together, to walk with each other on the journey. We're not doing it alone. And too often what happens is there's so much shame in my life, I don't want to let God in, and I definitely don't want to let someone else in, and I want to walk this journey on my own somehow, where God says, no, lay that down before me, confess it, let me transform it, but get other people involved in your lives who can support you, who can encourage you, who can remind you of God's love, who can remind you of God's mercy, who can hold you accountable, who can do it in love and not in judgment, not harshly. But we got to be willing to be vulnerable with God and with others. We have to trust God's leading when it comes to him leading his church. Yes, we probably all have a story where we got hurt by somebody in the church, pastor or another person. I got some, but I can't allow those hurts to stop me from allowing others into my own life to lay out my junk and say, here's what I'm wrestling through, here's what I'm dealing with. And then for someone else to come beside me and go, I'll pray for that. I'll support that. I'll encourage that. I'll hold you accountable to that. We got to confess to God. We got to let him in. And we got to let the church in. We got to support each other. Because God knows everything about you and still wants you. And we as the church got to want each other. We got to love each other. We got to support each other. As we follow Christ, our hearts need to align with his. So not that we're going to know everything the same way he does, but we'll know enough where we can still say, I still love you. I still want you in my life. I still want you in my life. Like, let's walk this journey together. Because God knows everything and still wants you. You are wanted. You are loved. You are desired by God. Let's not continue to carry around a bag of shame and pretend life is okay. Let's give it to him. Let's be transformed by him. Let's walk out of this place renewed and strengthened in our faith. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.